Dirk, why the heck aren't you in Italy right now?
And you would have to start with that question, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm going right into it, Dirk. I'm not wasting any time. I expected the next time that we would be talking, you would be in Italy, and you're not. And I know there's a story there, and I refrained from poking and prodding at you via email to find out what the story was. I didn't even want to go on the information highway to find out what was going on. I wanted to hear from you. So what's going on? You were supposed to be pitching in Italy. It's not happening. What happened?
You know what? I honestly have to tell you that I do not think that you have the time or the amount of alcohol required to get through the full version of it.
Alcohol, I've definitely got, and we're on for 6 hours tonight, and we'll blow up the rest of the show.
Oh my gosh! So, don't destroy everything on for the sake of my Italian adventure. But I will do my best to kind of lay it out there for you as quickly as I can.
Okay.
Okay. So there were a few major miscommunications, a few minor contract violations. Somewhere in there, I fought a herd of feral cats. I almost got arrested by the Italian police. One of my teammates legitimately had sex with a cow, and I got a better job offer. And so everything kind of broke loose.
Are you making a lot of this up? Because this sounds like a really good book.
No, it sounds like a great book. Unfortunately, I think I left too soon to really make the next War and Peace out of it. But there were so many beautiful moments, because Italy is just stunning. It's beautiful, and the people are just warm and they're friendly. The food is fantastic. It's such a place to vacation at, and I can totally understand how people fall in love with it. But at the same time, there were some really, really screwy miscommunication, dysfunctional aspects. And they all ganged up on me in one real brief amount of time. And then, there was an offer for me to come back home to do something in the media that was extremely well compensated when you compare it to the Italian league. And so it put me in a hard spot. And ultimately I had to get out of Italy. Oh, yeah, and then the guy had sex with a cow.
You got to tell that. You got to tell that story. It's almost midnight.
I'm really trying to think of how I can say that and not have this entire conversation turned into a bleep fest. But, okay, all right, I'll do my best.
So okay, sex with a cow with Dirk Hayhurst. Go.
I wish I had a radio show, because I would introduce it just like that. Okay, so what happens was I'm over there at the ballpark, and the second night in, things are starting to kind of dawn on me that maybe this wasn't the best place to go. They pulled the batting cage off the field, the big batting dome. They pulled it off the field using a Vespa scooter. And the manager just told me that the locals are really upset because they hadn't signed the sponsors yet, so they weren't able to pay them. So they were like, oh, yeah, they're mad because we're not going to pay them, but they need to, they need to get over it. And so I'm like, wait a minute. There was no team trainer. We had to do our own laundry. We didn't have a locker facility. And the guy that started the game that night was a 44-year-old left-hander smoking menthols in the batting circle before he took them out. Right?
Wow.
So I was like, no, I mean, the writer in me was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, right? Like, you can't make this. This is great, right? So I'm like, I'm just eating this up. But also, the business owner, the bookseller, the guy that's responsible for all his publicity and who has to manage his taxes and stuff is worried at the same time because, I didn't have any contact information for any of the management. I had to, go emailing proxies that worked in the town that spoke English. They weren't even affiliated with the team. I didn't have phone numbers. We didn't have a phone. The apartment you couldn't turn on the dryer. Well, we didn't have a dryer. And the reason we didn't have one is because if you did and you turned it on, it would knock all the lights off in the apartment. It would blow the power circuit.
Right.
So anyway, so there's all these if something goes wrong here, oh my gosh, how do I get back? They have my passport. It was really scary. So I'm contemplating all of this in the locker room, and this guy I'm talking to, he showed up late because he had to work. A lot of the guys on the team have to work. That's actually fairly common. So he came in late, and we're sitting in the locker room, and we're talking about baseball, and he's talking about his family. We're just generally, you know, becoming teammates and being good dudes. And one of the other teammates walks in and points at him and starts laughing hysterically. I don't know why. He says something in Italian. The guy that I'm talking to, the good friend I'm making, he, like, turns his head in shame. He's all embarrassed because he knows where this story is going. Oh, and then so the new guy who was pointing and laughing says to me, pointing at my friend, he had sex with no goat, no sheep.
Because it's getting better as we go through animals.
He had sex with moo. He had sex with moo. And I'm like, oh, a cow. See, he has sex with a cow. And I'm like, I turn to the guy, and I say, that a boy, good for you. You know, slump buster. How big was she, man? You know, 200 pounds. And then I forget that, you know, they measure things in kilos, not pounds. So I retract that. I say, 200 kilos? 300 kilos? Was she, you know, was she, you know, did you hit better? Was she worth it? And he goes, no, not woman, cow.
What?
And I'm like, what? He's like, no, not the big cow, obviously, you know, obviously, right? A full-size cow, but just the dynamics involved would be impossible, duh. He goes, no, small calf. See, small calf. See. And I'm
are like, you? So, you're sitting there, and you're talking with this guy, and you're getting along with him. Oh, this guy's great. You know, maybe my experience in Italy isn't so bad. Maybe this is all right. I'm making a friend here. This guy seems like a normal human being. Oh, wait, had sex with a cow. I hate it when that happens.
No, I mean, as everybody does. But I was like, that is awesome. You know, like, this is a gold mine. Awesome. You know, keep going. What else? You know, he says to me, he goes, well, you know, I mean, I was young and I was influenceable and it was a very seductive calf. No, actually he said I was young and I was influenceable and my brothers were older and they told me, he goes, quote unquote, I had to break my bushel.
Oh,
you know, you
Lord.
Understand?
Oh,
I have to break my bushel.
Lord.
And I'm like, yeah, I think I know what you're doing. I think I know what you mean by that. So, you know, I have a sex with a cow, you know, just, you know, until they start laughing and then I stop, I guess. So,
How is he like not dead? Like, honestly, well, and I wonder if that's something that he talks about openly on dates.
Well, he's married now. So, you know,
he's married now.
He's happily married. I mean, he was young. He was influenceable. It was a very seductive cow. I thought I explained this to you, Jeff.
Wow. So, I mean, did you watch a lot of Cubs mistakes. Games and hear Harry Carey just yell, holy cow, holy cow?
Oh my God. So your mind always goes to these disgusting places.
I didn't bring up having sex with a cow. You did.
No, you asked me to talk about Italy, and this is what happened.
Oh, well, naturally, if I ask you about pitching in Italy, sex with a cow is going to come up. It's organic. It's organic. So, okay.
It's out there for a reason.
Okay, so for a myriad of reasons, and that is a massive one, you're not pitching in Italy now.
No, I'm not. That's that was one of the reasons I really wanted to stay, actually. Not because, like, I was waiting my opportunity to mate with a farm animal, but, I didn't stay because I had an opportunity to come back. I can't give you a ton of details on that because of that, you know, the contract stipulations and what I can discuss. But, there was a job for me to do some media work. Back here, and it was a really well-paying gig, and of course, it's the kind of thing you can do for a long time. And so, like, I came back to my apartment that night after, you know, I kind of discovered all these things that they don't tell you up front. I came back to my apartment, and the apartment had, like, five or six feral cats that had gotten into the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And they snuck in, like, we left the balcony doors open, and so we had these cats in the apartment. And so, like, we had to run the cats out of the apartment, and then, like, the internet solution that we had to the laptops there didn't work, so that was a problem. So, I'm losing money. I'm trying to promote the books. That was gone. And then, in the middle of the night, like, I know my wife is up. I go running downtown into the middle of this small Italian town into like these back alleyways with my iPhone looking for internet signal, right?
Right.
And I finally find like a shoe store that has unprotected wireless. So I'm jumping on there and I'm pirating it, you know. And like it's very weak, so I'm right up next to the door. And of course, I'm wearing like my black coat and my stocking cap. And nobody in Italy wears like American stocking caps, you know. So I get a hold of my wife, this, you know, on Skype. The signal drops. We get disconnected like 5 or 6 times. And by this point, I'm like just screaming out in the night how upset I am. Like I'm just so frustrated. So I keep calling back. It's all I can do. Like 10 to 15 minutes later, a flashlight hits me as the Polizia. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Polizia, or however you pronounce it. I forgive me.
But Polizia.
Right. So they're like, you know, and the thing you have to understand about like police in foreign countries, well, I mean, not in Canada, but the police in Europe, like they cart around semi-automatic weapons right there out like in the broad daylight. It's just like, it's a deterrent. When you see a policeman with a machine gun walking around, like,
yeah,
you usually tend not to do something bad when you know that Rambo is standing next to you.
Right. So, you're having sex with a cow. You stop right away when you see a guy with a machine gun.
Exactly. Unless he tells you to keep going.
Right.
And then, of course, I would because he has a machine gun.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We've all been there.
We've all been there. Right, guys?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, guys.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So anyways, you know, he's like, what are you doing? And like, I'm basically an Italian. Like, you know, what are you up to? And I don't know what to say because I don't speak Italian. I only know a couple of words, and one of them is not, hey, guys, chill out. I'm just pirating the shoe store's internet signal at 4 in the morning, dressed in all black with a stocking cap.
Right.
No big deal. So, you know, I'm like, I realize that I don't have my passport with me. I have no euros. I have no identification. And that's when I'm like, I can't even contact the team at this point. I have no idea what to do, right? So I'm like, thus begins this pantomiming thing of like, I can't sleep, you know, jet lag, the baseball player, you know, Natuno, whatever, Americano, Americano, and then we start practicing English and Italian, and then there was some Spanish in there too, because the two languages are actually pretty closely linked together, so it was like this Spang-Italian that we're speaking, and they're just like, oh, and they just wave it off, and they tell me to go back home, because people are trying to sleep. And so yeah, thank goodness for that. but that kind of sealed the deal. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And then, of course, I got that night, I got like the email update that there was this job waiting for me should I decide to take it.
Well,
so all those things kind of combined.
Well, yeah. Dirk, I want to find out if you're going to be pitching again, but we're way late here. Can you stick around through the break and we'll talk to you after the update?
Happily.
I'm curious to know, Dirk, how have things been left in Italy? Is all good, or are they kind of up in arms?
Oh, man. Yeah, up in arms is like an understatement. So you got to understand the way the rules work over there. They only have so many visas to give out to foreigners. So, you know, when I came over there and I got my first taste of it, and, you know, I liked a lot of it, and certainly I didn't dislike it enough to leave. I mean, there's some adjustment stuff, but like I said, I mean, some of that wild stuff, like, you know, cow sex and, you know, feral cats and police and whatever. I mean, that makes for great book writing. And so I would have stuck it out really. Like doing my own laundry and, you know, the communication issue, that was a hassle, but it's not overcomable. I mean, these are problems that, you know, could all be fixed.
Yeah.
But then the offer, like the job offer to do media, it was so lucrative. It would be stupid to pass it up, especially when you're trading it up for, you know, like stories about, again, cow sex and you know, like some, I guess, like minor league Euros, essentially.
Well,
so I had to take it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that put the team in a bad situation over there, the Natuno team, because I used one of their visas and they can't get it back. And so that made them furious. And while we were, we kind of were very professional at the negotiation, after I left, like their manager, this guy, and they call him the Panther. Oh my gosh. He just tore into me, man. I mean, basically the whole story, the official story from him is that I left because I came over completely unprepared. I was totally unprofessional. I demanded things the entire time I was there. I was out of shape. I got my butt kicked by a German team during a scrimmage. And then I was so scared at how good the talent is, I ran back home afraid and bailed.
Like, that's
the story going around. And like, Yeah, and so this, and like he didn't stop there. He was like, "Yeah, if I was involved in negotiations, none of this would have ever happened." You know, our management really screwed up by picking this guy. He has no class. You know, that kind of thing. And it's funny because he was involved in negotiations. I mean, I talked to him. You know, like so, like yeah, what a louse, right? But so I don't know why they they chose to handle it that way because it's really not true. But unfortunately, like the culture, like you can't just call over there and say, "Hey, get me on the team." You have to have friends that know people. And so like if you have family that can vouch for you or something like that. Well, it just so happens that Tony LaCava, the assistant GM for the Blue Jays,
yep.
You know, whom is a great human being. I will never say a bad thing about him. Just a wonderful person.
Yeah.
He's a real asset to the program there. He was like, "Oh yeah, Dirk's a great guy, you know, and if he's healthy, he'll pitch real well for you and you should totally take a chance on him." And so now they're like, I guess like they're upset with him because he lied, you know, and it's terrible. Like it's just, there's a lot of things that aren't true, totally unprofessional. And it just, it's hurting a lot of people, when really, you know, it should all be on me. Like I take full blame, you know, I'm the bad guy. So I hate to see other people get hurt. But if they had
made things a little bit better for you there, you know, if the situation had been a little bit better there, I think you would have stayed. I mean, I know you got an offer to go somewhere else to do something else, but you know, had things been a little bit better, so you know, give yourself a bit of credit as well. I mean, had things been a bit better there. You
know, I don't mean to say that, like, well, look, I mean, I could have went over there and things could have been like, you know, perfect and beyond my wildest dreams, I guess, in a lot of ways. And then I would have had this offer show up and I would have been like, wow, this is a chance to get set up for the rest of my life. I'm going to go take this. And I would have had to leave anyways. I mean, the other stuff on top of it is just kind of comical, you know, in a way. And it was a lot of fun dealing with.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get any business done over there with those kind of issues. But in the same way, in the same, you know, like same side, it's kind of fun. It's a great thing to write about, as I've said. So, but to answer your first question, which was, you know, are you going to be playing in the future? That was the other hard part about going is that if I go to take this media job,
yeah,
I mean, obviously I'm retiring from baseball if it works out. So it was like, man, you know, it wasn't me just walking into the Natuno, management and saying, "Hey, you know, I hate it here. I'm leaving." 'Cause that wasn't the case. And I got a better offer. I'm leaving. 'Cause that wasn't the case. It was, I got a better offer good enough to talk me out of ever playing baseball again.
Right.
Work out.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's really what it came down to. And so if this all comes through, you know, then I'm officially retired. So,
wow.
And unfortunately that's all I can tell you.
Wow. And you're what? Wait, you just had, is it your birthday this week? It's your birthday
this week. March 21st. I turned 31.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's
right.
31? Can you imagine that though? I mean, I kind of graduating to another phase of your life at that early an age. I mean, would you have anticipated that maybe 10 years ago when you were, you know, just you know, coming onto the baseball scene? You know, you're a young man. You got your whole life ahead of you. Not that it's over, by
any means, but honestly, like if you would have asked me if I would have made it this far, 10 years ago, I would have told you no, because I mean, I've always tried to be a realist. And one of the things about baseball is that, you know, guys typically don't, I mean, statistically don't make it into their 30s and still have jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so I think I did pretty well. So, you know, I don't want to look back with any kind of bitterness that I walked away from opportunity, because, you know, it all worked out for me. I mean, I got to play in the big leagues. I have, you know, I have a town that I will always love in Toronto. And so, you know, a lot of guys don't even get that, you know, so I've had a surgery and I still got paid, you know, I mean, it was like, yeah, like I've been very lucky and very fortunate. So even if I was to retire to go on to do something as fickle as media, you know, or if it didn't work out at all, I've still had a really charmed career and I'm thankful for all of it. So I'm never going to be like, "Oh, well, I was cut down in my prime." You know, I never want to be one of those guys, you know, so.
Yeah, no, I don't think you could look back at your point right now in your career, or if you switch careers, if everything works out, you could look back with any regret. I don't like regret. I think everything happens for a reason. We all have our our stumbling blocks. We all have things that we look back on and say, yeah, I wish I did that a little bit differently. But, you know, it turns you into the person you become. So, right. You know, if you ever have anything that pulls you back a little bit, you just end up, you have to end up becoming a better person for it. And certainly that's something we learned from your writings and in your books as well. Now, this new job you've got that you're mulling over, that you're hoping pans out here. Is it to work with me? Is that happening? Because I know I have sent you a formal contract offer. Work with me, co-host a show with me, all the Pop-Tarts you can eat. I know I sent that to you. Is that the contract you're looking over?
It is, actually.
Oh.
It is. And you say that I won't look back and regret. But I'll tell you what, if they are not S'mores Pop-Tarts, man, we're going to have a problem.
Are S'mores your favorite?
No, it's not, but it's. I know people in like black market countries that will pay top dollar for
really?
S'mores. So, you know, what you think is just like, just S'mores Pop-Tarts, man, no big deal. I know people who value them like uranium. So
you want to turn that into a quick buck. You're not, I would give you the Pop-Tarts for the love of the Pop-Tarts. It's not to turn it around and make a quick buck on it.
You know what? And that's why you are not like the head of Rogers right now, because you don't have the foresight to find markets for Pop-Tarts. Really, really, dude. I mean, this is a business, okay?
Well, I could be the head
of
Rogers.
The radio game.
I could be the head of Rogers if I wanted to be. I choose not to, and I choose to host overnight. That's my choice. That was my choice. Yeah. You know, it's funny that we're talking Pop-Tarts here, because last night. We've got about 30 seconds here. Last night, I got into a big argument with our producers, Gord Brunt, Joe Sicilia, last night. We got into a big argument. We were talking about favorite Pop-Tarts of all time, and I loved Apple, and you know, they were arguing with me. I love chocolate right now, but, you know, and then I started to look over some of the best Pop-Tarts of all time. You know, there's so many great ones. There's like Vanilla Milkshake. And,
what?
Yeah, I know. Specialty ones like for Thanksgiving, pumpkin pie, Pop-Tart. These have been made. What?
I've never had those.
I feel like I've lived such a sheltered life, only having had four or five different flavors of Pop-Tarts.
Now I'm looking back in bitterness. Thanks for that.
Well,
now my life is a waste. You ruined it.
And that's how we end our conversation tonight.
I'm going to go commit suicide. Thank you. There will never be another interview. It's over.
You're welcome. Dirk Hayhurst, hey, always great talking to you. You never know where it's going to go. And we started off with sex with a cow, and we ended it with Pop-Tarts. So you just never know. I appreciate it. Good luck.
Old radio, Jeff. Old radio.
when you can talk about your new project, we'll talk about it on the air. Thanks, pal.
Awesome. Thank you so much.